Blog Talk Radio.
You put a quietus. You're even mad at me. You're mad at the press. Listen, don't be mad at everybody. They're trying to do the best for you. What's next for you?
And they're not trying to do the best for
Don.
They're not trying to do the best for him, and he's not mad at everybody. We just won. We got two great heavyweights. Now, Razor Ruddock is the two best heavyweights in the world. I thought that the referee was a little bit not right. You won't say it, Birdie, but you say you always speak up, but you're holding your tongue now.
I have not.
You didn't hold your tongue.
I haven't.
Last time you didn't hold your tongue. I want to see you speak up now like you've been speaking up.
I'm getting body shots here.
Now you're getting some shots because you ain't doing
I'm waiting to referee, interview the referee.
Okay,
give me a moment.
Right.
Give me a moment.
I'm
got Mike Tyson here.
I'm going to give you a moment.
All right, let's have Mike Tyson.
Let's be fair, Birdie. Don't play this game.
Is if you have this kind of a fight, do you think it gets you in the condition you need for Holyfield?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
We don't want Holyfield.
But can I tell you something? I just hope this guy don't forget, because before the great fight, go out there and let him lose to somebody, make a mistake and lose. Because, God, boy, you got a future.
All right. Thank you from two warriors and from a distraught Don King. And now we will find the lonesome dove.
Not distraught. That's the guy that wants you to
where is, hold it. Give me the referee here. Let's go back to Steve right now at ringside.
All right. King Pacheco may be.
Oh, my goodness. Way to start the show off. That was the voice of the great fight doctor, Ferdy Pacheco. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Chilling with Cheese Show. And I thought that was a great, great clip. If you ever go on YouTube, you have to show that was a little bit more. And man, that just takes you back to some great memories of Ferdy Pacheco. I try to come from different angles with this boxing thing, and I don't want to be the average blogger. And a lot of times when you're a blogger, or sometimes you revert back to whether it's a childhood or different events that went on in your life. And one of the great voices of my childhood, because I was always a huge sports fan, whether it was Keith Jackson in football or Pat Summerall, Tom Brookshire in football, it was the great Ferdy Pacheco. He was a great color commentator for NBC Sports and Showtime Boxing. But he was far more than that. He was a physician. He was also an author, and he did so many things in his life, and it wouldn't do him any justice without mentioning a few things. And I thought it would be a great, great show to have his son, Ferdy James Pacheco, to come on and talk about some of the great moments in his childhood. I met Ferdy on Facebook, and it seems like a very cool guy, and I reached out to him and told him that I would love to have him come on and talk about his father and his mother as well. She was a very unique person, a great author in her own right. She was also a photographer, so he'll have some great memories on that. Also, we'll talk about the memories he had with Muhammad Ali as a child and as a young adult. So, yeah, man, it's a great show lined up. And if you have any questions or comments and you feel like you want to call a show, the number is 929-477-3798. It's 929-477-3798. And Ferdy James should be calling in about 5 to 7 minutes. I told him to give me a few minutes so I can set him up. He's a pretty unique guy. I mean, I enjoy his post on Facebook, and we're going to have a good time with it. I told him I wouldn't keep him long, but I said I wanted him on because this is almost, his father died last year around, I think it was November 16th. So I thought it would be a good time. I know he's a busy man, but he said he would grant me some time to come on and just to give you guys a bit of boxing history. Most people think boxing history is just the fighters themselves, but it's a whole lot of characters around the sport that make the sport great. I mean, you talk about guys who weren't in the ring who are just as important in some aspects, whether it's, like I said, Ferdy Pacheco or Burt Sugar, or different various sports writers around, boxing writers around the country who are so important to the history and the growth of the sport. And I like to touch on all the aspects. I think a lot of guys who delve into, whether it's having their own website or blogging or whatever, kind of get put into a niche where, okay, all they want to talk about is just the fighter and, okay, before the fight, after the fight, during the fight. But there's a lot of things that go on. Like, a lot of people want to know what they do in their childhood? What made them get to the point where they want to become a fighter? Okay, what commentator? What made them want to get it, become a commentator? So, yeah, man, it's pretty cool, man. I'm quite sure Ferdy will have some great stories about his childhood. So, again, he should be calling in a few minutes, and I look forward to talking to him. And so, yeah, we're going to also, if you guys want to talk about any of the fights coming up, I know this weekend, Daniel Jacobs, he'll be at Madison Square Garden. That should be a pretty good night of boxing. Many people think that may be HBO's last fight card, but from what I'm hearing, it may not be. So I think they'll have something lined up with Chocolatito. But yeah, Ferdy, is that you?
It's me. Hi.
Hey, Ferdy, how you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
I
don't even know where to start. I mean, I've got so many stories about Ali growing up. It's just he was so cool. You know, as a kid, he played with me for hours. I mean, I remember fighting with him over an Etch-a-Sketch when I was a kid because I did a magnificent drawing on the Etch-a-Sketch, and he wanted to wreck it and do his own drawing, and you know, I couldn't get it away from him, and then we were going back and forth like two little kids. And then finally, I gave it and let him have it, and he couldn't wait to ruin it. And he started laughing in my face. The last time I saw him, when I was 14, I saw him after that. You see the picture, but when I was like 14, I was already at his height, and he looked at me and said, "You better stop growing. You're getting taller than me." You know, so he just, and then I was about 14 years old, and I was on the set of The Greatest, that horrible movie about him, the first one. That was God, that was awful, that movie. And anyway, so I was on the set like every day, and I talked the keys out of a new Cadillac out of his chauffeur, one of his chauffeurs, one of the cars. It was just basically a loaner from the Cadillac dealer. They just gave everybody a bunch of little Cadillacs to run around in. And so I just wanted to fool around with the car. So I got the keys. I took the keys out of the chauffeur, one of his drivers, and I promptly wrecked it. And he was a car freak like my dad, and they had both bought like matching Rolls-Royces. And my father was so pissed, he didn't walk up in front of like 50 people sitting around on the movie set, and everybody turned dead quiet, and they looked at me. Ali looked at me, and I said, "I'm sorry, I wrecked your car."
My father
made me apologize for everybody. And Ali said, "That's okay, you're just not getting the keys to my Rolls."
So wait, Ferdy, what made them get matching cars? Was that something they planned, or...?
Well, you know, they were friends. My dad was friends with the dealer, the Cadillac. The guy that handled Cadillac, Rolls-Royce, everything, BMW, all that stuff. So the owner gave my father and Ali these great deals on these new Rolls-Royces. And Ali picked out the dark green one. My father picked out the dark brown one. So that was just the story about that. Ali and my father just happened to be together. He was also a car freak like my dad.
Okay.
You know?
So
wow. That's really the story.
Now, when you, as a kid, when, of course, your father is one of the, I always taught, and I text this to you, and I said on my blog when your father passed away, I said he was one of the great voices of my childhood, and he's such a colorful personality. At what age did you realize that your father was, like, running circles with some big-time guys? At what age did you realize that?
Well, it never really was like a massive realization, like a bucket of water in my head. They were just around my whole life. I mean, I remember as a baby, Ali was bouncing me on his knee. Sonny Liston was holding me. There's a great picture of that. So, I mean, Joe Louis was bouncing me on his knee. And I mean, they were around my whole life. I mean, I remember, you remember the fighter Oscar Bonavina?
Absolutely, yeah.
Famous Argentine, I think, Argentina. I remember him coming to my house when I was a kid and him kneeling in front of my mother and kissing her hand. I mean, this was just part of my life. It wasn't like a big realization. It got to the point where, like, I would be taking a cab in New York, or I would be – the name was always recognized my whole life because my dad was already kind of like – by the time I was like 6, 7 years old, he was already kind of like getting out there really famously. I mean, like in the late 60s, there was a whole spread on him in the Sports Illustrated. So he was already getting going by the time I was a little kid.
Yeah. For most people that don't know, he was Ali's personal physician for 15, 17 years, something like that.
Actually, right? He became his doctor before I was even born. I mean, pretty much right around a few months before I was born, my mom knew the Dundees, and she was friends with the Dundees because they could put on, like, different – like, Chris Dundee, Angelo's brother, was the guy that put on all the entertainment on Miami Beach. So my mother was a big model, and she did his trade shows. And also her best friend was married to one of Dundee's fighters. So my mom knew them very well. So when she married my dad, she pushed my father in the door when they wanted a doctor. And then my dad fell into Ali's lap because Ali was a big talker, and so was my dad. And my father double-talked him and gave him a shot with Ali not even knowing him. And Ali was terrified of needles. And so when he said to my father, "So, Doc, when is the shot?" after they started gadding back and forth, my father said, "Well, you had it already." He was like, he said, "Oh, my God, you'll be my doctor from now on."
Right. Flipped.
And, you know, let me tell you something people don't know, that the Muslims did not like my father in the beginning.
I read Ferdy. I read something. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
No. They did not want a white doctor possibly poisoning him. They white-eyed, blue-eyed devils and all that baloney. Well, he was one time, he went over to the house where Ali – Cassius Clay first rented a really nice house in a upscale Jewish neighborhood, and my grandmother held the lease on the house because she was a leasing queen, and no one wanted to give him the house, but my grandmother said, "Screw it, let him have the house." And she almost lost her license. She almost lost her license because they were so pissed. You know?
Now, I had read, Ferdy, now you might have to correct me on this, but I also read that Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, did not want your father to be his doctor, but Muhammad Ali kind of stuck up for your father and said, "No, he's going to be my doctor."
Yeah,
is that how the story
went? They really loved each other. Of course, Ali did. Cassius Clay did that because they were crazy about each other. The reason why I am now a life coach and I counsel people on their careers and all that stuff is because my father did that with Ali, Jimmy Ellis, Luis Rodriguez, all these fighters, when they were all young, Chavez and De La Hoya, and all these people were all young when my father was with them and used to hang out with them and talk to them for hours and days. Ali was around as a kid. When I was a baby, he was around all the time. And so my dad used to talk to them about their life and counsel them like a father. And that's what makes people better there as athletes, is to be happier people and to be balanced mentally and all that stuff. And so when my dad would talk to these guys, they were happier. They were better. So it wasn't just Angelo Dundee making him a great fighter. Ali was talked to my dad quite a bit. My dad was really like paternal with him.
Getting ready for this interview. Yeah, that's true. Go ahead. One last story.
My dad goes into that house I talked about to give Ali an antibiotic shot in the early days when he was getting a cold and whatever. And so the Muslims all went nuts with him coming in there, giving him the shot. My father took the shot and shot the antibiotics down the wall and said, "F this," and ran out of the car. And my mother was in the car, and he told my mother the story, and she said, "Get back in there and fix it." And he went back in there, and he fixed it. But he was really pissed because he took no money from Ali. My dad had offices and clinics and hospitals and didn't really need Ali financially. So he was only doing it as a favor. And so
friend,
right. When they started treating him like shit, he really didn't like it too much. He was a very, very educated guy. So he was doing them kind of a favor. And then all of a sudden, these guys are telling him that he's going to poison Ali and all this baloney. He was very offended by that.
Now, I read leading up to it, did a little research, and I saw where it's very important that you bring it up, where they were so close. But towards the end of Ali's career, when your dad saw that his skills were diminishing, and he said that, you know what, he didn't want to see him take that punishment. What was that like at that particular time when he just had to part ways for that moment?
Well, I think that his relationship with Ali certainly wasn't as close as it had been. I didn't really see him till the 84 Olympics, and then he was quite different. I mean, him, my dad and I went to the boxing in L.A. at the Olympics, and I noticed he was certainly quite different then. And then the picture you see of him and I is at a book signing in New York. But Dad went on to CBS and then went on to NBC, and his own career really took off. So I don't really think that they maintained much of their relationship afterwards. I know that it really killed my dad to see Ali go down the tubes like he did, in a way. He certainly tried to prevent that.
He sure did. And you spoke of your mother so kindly, and I read about your mom, too. And not only was she the author, but am I correct that she was his personal photographer, your dad?
Oh, that was my stepmother, not my mother.
Your stepmother. Okay.
Yeah, her name, not my mom. She came into the situation much later. My mother was the one that really set Ali up with my dad.
Later.
And the Dundees
okay.
and all that. Yeah, they divorced in the late 60s, and then my stepmother came on in the 70s.
Wow.
Yeah. So my mother was the one that really kind of set that up. And she was the one that, if you read Angelo Dundee's book, it said Mrs. Pacheco runs out of the Sonny Liston fight screaming fix. She was a big bettor, and she held a bet. She held the book against Ali for Sonny Liston to win that fight. And she personally lost about $30,000. And her father had to really bail her ass out. She was in big trouble. So she went out of there screaming and yelling that there's a fix. And they fought about that their whole marriage. He used to play the black and white film in the house.
That is
and
incredible.
And then later on, he admitted it was something that there was funny business going on there.
Right. And, you know, I was going to ask you about that as far as the whole Sonny Liston thing. Did your father ever – I guess you might not want to talk about that now.
Well, I remember him saying one time – and he never told me directly. But one time I heard him say in an interview, one of his NBC shows, where he said that the earlier fights that we had fixed for him, he leaked that out. And then Liston, who was a big – he and my mother were crazy about each other. My mother used to go to Vegas every year and play. She's a big, big gambler. And she saw Sonny greeting doors at Caesars or something in the late 60s. And they had a great time seeing each other and all that. And she says, you want to tell me some big guy like you is going to let some skinny kid knock him down in the ring unconscious twice? Now, how the hell is that possible? And then he looks around, his eyes darts around, and he says, I can't talk about it.
Oh, wow.
And that was the end of that story.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, a lot of people don't want to hear that either. Big fights. Every time I see that picture of Sonny laying on the ring and Ali over him, the phantom punch fight picture, that makes me laugh.
Well, you know what, Ferdy, a lot of people, even guys like me, kind of amateur boxing historian, we kind of figured something was going on. I mean, it was, you know, just a flash, you know.
But
you know, as like you said, as a boxing fan, you kind of want to let it go out of your head to say, no, he really knocked him out. But you're absolutely
right.
Stevie
Wonder could figure out something was going on. I mean, come on.
It
was just... Well, because Ali was good for the image of boxing. Because before that, you know, Liston and all those people were thugs, and Liston had been in jail for murder, and it was underworld. So Ali comes in, he's this young, good-looking black kid who's great for the racial situation going on at the time. And he was just so charming and good-looking and funny and all that. So he added a great deal of commercial success onto boxing. The appeal of everybody came in, not just sleazebags. So Ali, the people and the big people that were in control of boxing said to Sonny, he said, "You got to get out of here, man. You got to go, or else," you know? And so that's probably what ended up happening.
Wow. And I'm going
to say, my mother didn't know about it. She didn't know about it. And my father took a look at, she was sitting ringside, and she said to me, she told me later on, "Your father, behind his back, did a thumbs down, like the round before he fell down, he knocked him out."
Okay.
He did a thumbs down. My mother didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
So he already knew what was going to happen.
Of course. Hell yeah. And so she didn't know what the hell was going on. She loved Sonny, so she bet ahead against Ali because she didn't really like Ali that much. She was crazy about Sonny. And so she took huge baths.
Wow.
She was pissed. She was pissed.
Now you talk about your father, and for people who don't know, and we see the colorful, you know, person that he was, what was he like at home when there was no cameras and it was just you and the wife?
Well, when I was a little kid, he was awfully fun, awfully fun. I mean, when I was a little kid, I mean, really just every event there was on Miami Beach, you can imagine, in those days, it was really hopping, full of every imaginable event. I mean, everything Aunt Krista D put on, I was there in the front row. And I was obsessed with midget wrestling. Obsessed. Every single event. Chris knew it too. So he used to put as many events on as possible because he knew I was nuts for it. But my father was a nut for old cars, and I since have become a maniac also, but I inherited that gene because you can't just have all of a sudden become liking cars. But I have become I'm a car maniac. And so my father really taught me a lot about old cars, and we had many of them, a lot of old ones that were classic. They were like show cars, you know. We didn't do the work because we didn't know how to do it. We had other people doing it, but that was something he really gave me, the great, you know, hobby, you know, an expensive hobby.
Yeah.
I can't afford it right now, but one day.
Yeah, and I wouldn't give your mom the proper respect if I didn't ask. And I saw you had post something about she was the main reason you have such a giving heart. Tell everyone about your mom and what she meant to you growing up as a young man.
Well, I mean, she was a riot. She was absolutely very sweet. She was very cool, very generous. And, you know, the kind of mom that she was friends with all your friends, and all your friends wanted to ask her advice, and they came over and they talked to her, and we would have birthday parties, and she would have wine for everybody, and she'd say, "Don't tell your parents." You know, she's one of those people. She was just a blast, but, you know, not really doing anything bad towards the kids. But the kids were like coming to her with problems at home, and what do I do with my life, and where am I going to be when I grow up? And she just was extremely generous with everybody. But she was so gorgeous, had been a big model and a showgirl. She was Gypsy Rose Lee's daughter on stage in Cuba and New York and Vegas. My mother, she was a very big deal. She was quite beautiful. And people were stunned by the way she looked. And then the fact she was so nice, they were freaked out by it. They were disarmed by the fact she was so down to earth. And she was one of these people that was of such a sports junkie. She had like three TVs going in her bedroom at all times with different games and bets on every single one of them, and screaming at the TVs, kill him, knock him down, you know, run, tackle him, baby, get him. You know, she was a riot, had bets on everything. She could, She convinced me as a kid, sort of like my dad was with Ali, to watch, look at the relationships with the people, the athletes, because if they're doing well with their wives and their children and they're happy, they're going to play better.
That's
and
a good point.
She would make
good
me buy point. These papers called the shiny sheet or the gold sheet, or remember, I forgot what it's called, but she'd read up on all the players going on in their marriages and what was happening with the coaches, what was happening with the players, and she'd bet accordingly, and she'd won all the time.
I don't care what decade you're in. Yeah. I don't care what decade you're in. That sounds like a woman that any guy would fall in love with. You know what I mean?
And
that's incredible.
She had men banging down the door crying to marry her. She was so gorgeous and funny and sweet and loved games. She was right there at the football games with my dad. You know, she was a riot.
Oh, my goodness.
And by ringside screaming at I have a great picture of her sitting next to ringside with Ali in the ring against the, playing rope-a-dope, and she's there smoking a cigarette by the ring, puffing away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she was a riot. So she
Man,
was
that's
a
amazing.
Big sports freak. Yeah, she was a freak, a sports freak.
That's incredible, man. You know what? This is. I thought I didn't know what to expect because you were so generous and coming on. Man, this was one great interview. I told you I wasn't going to keep you too long because I know you got things you got to do. But I really appreciate you giving me the time tonight, man. I really do.
Well, you know, anytime you like. You know, he was also a great, great artist. I don't know if you know he was. Since he's passed away, his artwork is already kind of valuable. His artwork has tripled like three times. And I have the most beautiful artwork from when I was a kid. And I cherish it, and people have been begging me to have it. And I don't know about that. It's very bittersweet to me. And but he was one hell of a great artist and really great cartoonist. And I'm sure, maybe, I don't know if you've seen his artwork, but he was quite great. And he was always one of those guys who was by the ring, you know, drawing if he wasn't in the fight himself. So, and then he did.
Wow. I didn't know that. Wow.
Beautiful piece of artwork from Ali himself. And, he was just one hell of a Renaissance guy. He really was.
That's great, man. And you know, and like I said, and I appreciate it because I think you saw when I wrote a blog initially when your dad passed away, and I know it was coming up on a year and a couple of weeks since he passed away.
Thank you
away.
For that,
so,
by the way. Thank you.
Oh, no,
thank
man.
You for that.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely. That's something that, and I told before you came on the show, I told a lot of people, there's so many colorful people that boxing has that are not necessarily the fighters themselves that are almost just as important. I think your dad was one of them. I truly do believe that.
Well, you know, what's really kind of a bummer is that he's not in the Hall of Fame, and I don't understand that.
Yes.
But really annoying. That's really awful because people that weren't even really that incredibly special are in there, and that really is kind of weird. He's really an icon because he really made Ali. I mean, Angelo Dundee did a great job, but my dad also did a great job. And so I just don't get that. There's an awful lot of jealousy toward my father, which is a shame. But that's just the way that goes. But, you know, one last thing is that so many of these people and so many of the guys from the background are not the most wonderful guys in the world, but the fighters themselves, every single one of them was a sweetheart. The nicest guy, the biggest, nicest teddy bear you ever met in your life. Not one
and
of
you
them,
know what?
especially Jimmy Ellis. Do you remember him?
Wow. Oh, we absolutely remember Jimmy Ellis.
I absolutely adored him. You know, one last thing, I've got so many freaking stories. Do you know that when Ali was not allowed to fight and Jimmy was the champion, Jimmy came to the club where my father lived because he was getting a divorce from my mother. So he was living in this club. So Jimmy Ellis played in the pool with me all day long. I mean, literally from sunrise to sunset, this man was on the pool all day with me. I was like 7 years old, And I used to love, I'd never seen water, how it reacted with the afro. I'd never seen how it behaved, you know? I'd never seen that before.
Right.
I thought that was really fascinating. So I was pouring water over his head all day long and laughing like a maniac.
Oh,
and he
goodness.
Thought it was throwing me up and down in the water all day long. And wouldn't you know, it was the days of racism. And Miami still, they told my father, the management told my father, because mm-hmm. He had a quote-unquote colored person playing in the water, hit their
right.
pool all day long. My father had to pay for them to change the water. Can you believe that shit?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
My father said, F you people and F this and F everything. I'm leaving. I'm moving out of here. I'm dropping
right.
my membership. And he left. He was pissed.
That's
they
incredible,
had
the
nerve
man.
To say that. Can you believe that? That's in 1970 or something?
Oh,
so,
yeah. Well,
I mean,
we both know it's
really something.
And I know this has nothing to do with boxing, but me and you both know, and we kind of touch on it at times,
mm-hmm.
then the climate of the country kind of can realize where, you know, people, they're thinking back then and now, and it seems like society has regressed even more.
Well, yeah, it's regressed, but it was always there. They just were more
oh yeah
down low about it, you know. It just was
Absolutely.
Always there. But it's really sad, but, you know, it's really sad. And one thing about my mom, she
mm-hmm.
moved to North Carolina. She got a great deal on a house there. And moved from
mm-hmm.
Miami, and it was right before Obama became president. And she heard
okay.
one or two N-words about Obama and never left the house again and dropped those
oh.
people, never wanted to talk to them. She had never heard that word before. She didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
She was a big proponent of – she was. She
mm-hmm.
and my dad were friends with Martin Luther. I mean,
okay.
please. She was – She hung out with Martin Luther, and he thought it was so – he was crazy, but everybody was nuts for my mother because she was so gorgeous.
Yeah,
but,
yeah she was.
She used to love – she loved hanging out with Martin Luther, and he thought it was so funny how he took her to – how he had his kids. Three bunk beds, three tiers. That's how he
right,
took his
right.
kids. And he proudly showed that to my mother. Thought that was the greatest accomplishment
wow.
that he pulled that off.
Look, that's a bit of history. Oh, I wasn't expecting Ferdy.
I got a lot.
Thanks a lot,
me.
Man. Man, I tell you what, man, it's a pleasure. Man. I hope to meet you in person one day and shake your hand, man, and maybe have
where,
a dinner or something.
Where are you located?
I'm in Baltimore, but I'm in California sometime,
oh.
man. I go out
oh,
there,
oh.
and are you in California, right?
I'm in Palm Springs right now. I also,
okay.
but I also live in LA too. But I used
okay.
to live in New York City for like 20 years.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm kind of thinking about going back there because that's
okay.
really where the real people, the real money is. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, man. We'll get together
can't
one
beat
day.
The weather. You can't beat the weather here.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. Yeah, but I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate you coming on. And you, I know I only have about 400 or 500, maybe 600 listeners, but if someone out there who was in the powers that be and have this man's father get into the Hall of Fame, please give him a shout-out or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, did you have my email to email me if anyone wants to have me speak? I wouldn't mind speaking publicly. Whether it be in person, I know how to public speak, or whether it be radio, I've done a lot of radio. Does anyone have?
Hey, can
you
inbox
email?
It to me that way? Yeah, and I'll put my.
Yeah, I will do that for sure.
Absolutely.
I'll do that for sure.
And you know,
help
you out
that
with that
right
man.
Away.
Anytime All right,
like.
I appreciate
Anytime
it. Man.
You speak,
Thanks a lot.
Again.
Thanks
no
a lot,
problem.
My friend.
Thank you. Take care. Be good.
Take it easy. All right. That was great, man. I wasn't expecting a few. Then he said he wanted to see how the Afro reacted, so he kept pouring water. That's incredible. Well, yeah, man, that was a great. I told you that would be a great boxing history being given to you guys tonight, from Muhammad Ali to Jimmy Ellis to Angelo Dundee to Mark Liston. And list goes on and on. He gave us tidbits on all of them. And I really appreciate him coming on. The show was well. I'm telling you, follow me at chillingwithcheese.com and Chilling with Cheese on Chilling with Cheese 1 on YouTube and Facebook. Yeah, man, it was a great interview with me. Again, if anyone out there who has any kind of clout as far as the Hall of Fame and any kind of thing that would help your father to fight Doc, get into the Hall of Fame, I really appreciate someone to him or reaching out to me, and I'll give you his number, because that's just incredible to me. The guy that influential is not recognized in the Hall of Fame. Winding down the show, a few minutes left, but yeah, we got. I'm gonna tell you what's coming up. I'll be at the fight in Madison Square Garden, Daniel Jacobs, and it'll be pretty interesting to see how Daniel Jacobs does, because many people think this may be the last fight of HBO, but like I said earlier, I think HBO is working on a card with Chocolate Tito Gonzalez as the main event for December or maybe even January. So I don't think it will be the last one, but so yeah, but definitely after 45 years, that's HBO that is. So looking forward to that. Of course, December you had Tyson Fury going against Deontay Wilder out in LA. That'll be an interesting fight. And it was just brought to my attention this morning that Luis Ortiz will be on the undercard of that fight night. So that's just turning out to be a pretty good fight night out in L.A. I'm expecting a sold-out arena and looking forward to that fight night. So, yeah, man, it's, once again, it's been a pretty good show. I appreciate everyone listening in. I'll be back Saturday during a pre-fight show in New York City. Hopefully I'll try to be out in front of Madison Square Garden to give you guys a feel of, you know, just being at the fight, maybe have some fan reaction or predictions for that night. So yeah, it should be pretty good, man. And again, thank my guest Ferdy James Pacheco for coming on and giving us some great insight and history on his father, the fight doctor, and Muhammad Ali, and things we may have thought, or we thought we knew, and we really didn't want to realize what we knew. But yeah, so yeah, it's pretty cool. So until Saturday, just chilling with Cheese, and I'm out.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you shooting? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for the tap. And baby, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard him up, the murderer, smoke shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of me, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Not taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Gat lays in my waist. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I'll take a few floors, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present.